I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know what I got bear grief about yesterday?
Got bear grief?
Like a lot of
grief. Do you call it bear grief? I've never heard that before.
I mean, is like that... bear... You can say bear... that was just what I said. Like a lot.
Is that a thing, bear grief? Can you?
No, I mean, maybe. People probably do say it. I don't know.
Okay, so you've got a bit of what?
Grief.
Grief.
About yeah, what? About putting powdered milk in tea.
Who gave
Everyone
you grief
thought
about?
I was inhumane.
Who were you getting bear grief from?
Just my history class.
Oh, right. Well, how did it... it sounds to me like a strange conversation. How did
it arise? So we're talking about... So there's a girl who's... originally from Kenya, who's in my history class, and she was talking about masala tea or something, I think it's called. Masala tea. And she was saying how great it is, and you make it with a... So basically, her mum can get these special Kenyan tea bags if she's been to Kenya, but if she hasn't, then you like mix normal breakfast tea with like cinnamon and stuff, and then you like have hot milk with it, but also hot water, and it's kind of like a chai. It's like a chai latte, but we spent ages trying to work out what it was, and then someone was like, oh, it sounds like chai, and she was like, oh yeah, that's what it is, but just...
And it's quite sweet. I mean, yeah, I've had tea in India, really
yeah,
sweet.
Yeah, but have you had chai tea lattes from like...
no, I've never done that.
Oh my God, they're so good, like Christmas. Yeah, so we were talking about that, and then we got onto like teas and how to have teas, and I was like, oh yeah, I don't use real milk, I just use powdered milk. Right. And everyone was like, what, like a baby, like formula? I was like, no, it's just like powdered milk. And no one could believe that it was a thing.
Mm. Well, I don't know why we do that.
I have no idea why we use powdered milk.
But we always do, marvel. Yeah. But I do it because I like my tea to stay hot.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I do it because it's closer to... It's less walking.
Because we keep the powdered milk by the kettle.
Next to the kettle, yeah. Mm. So I don't have to... and then you get the milk out, and then you have to put it in, and then you have to put it back in the fridge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a fag, isn't it, doing all that?
Dad, you can't say that.
Yeah, yeah, the fag, not in the sense of...
Yeah, I know, but isn't that, like...
Gay. No, it's just a fag. That's what... It's a sort of old-fashioned, like, oh, he's a real cad and bounder. It's old-fashioned talk.
Oh, I thought that maybe that was because that word had got used for gay, so then when people decided, oh, it can be a word for everything that's, like, annoying.
Oh, no,
because gays are annoying.
Yes.
They're not, but
yes, I know
people
what you mean.
Used to think that...
People used to use it. Well, it was.
I don't think, just to be really clear, I don't think that gay people are in any way annoying.
Good.
I'm sure some are.
They're the same as the rest of the population.
Heterosexual people are. But
yes, indeed. But it did with kids. They used to say that's so gay, didn't they? When something wasn't. Kids
people
used to say that's gay.
I used
Do people
to say
still
that.
Say that?
Yeah, because sometimes it just slips out.
I've got a new joke to test the
levels
with.
There's no papers out for a joke, so is this a joke of your own creation?
No, it's not my own creation, it's somebody told me, but it's a good joke. Well, I think it's a good joke. I get different reactions to it. I've been telling everybody, but I do get different reactions. So here we go then, see how you react. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Control freak. Now you have to say control freak who? What do you think?
It's okay.
We're on my other podcast yesterday, we were playing a bit of Mark.
Podcast? What do you mean?
On my other subscription podcast, we were playing a bit of Mark Watson, who's a comedian I really like. And he said he looks very young for his age. He's actually a married man with kids. But he says, I look so young, it caused me all sorts of problems. I still get ID'd. If I try and buy a bottle of wine, I get ID'd. I got ID'd in Marks and Spencer's the other day. And the guy said, have you any proof you're over 18? He said, well, I'm in Marks and Spencer's, which I thought was a...
Yeah, it's nice, it's nice.
He said, what do you want me to do? Go over to the Cardigans and say, these are good value. Anyway,
they're expensive than some of the Cardigans at Marks and Spencer's.
Oh, maybe they're not.
Because they've
value.
Got their cashmere range.
Ah, well, there you go. We've not had a consumer update from you for a long time. We should send you...
I'm trying not to buy as many clothes.
No,
have you noticed fashion. That I've not been buying... I don't buy as many clothes. A bit.
A little bit, maybe.
So, yeah, well,
but you still are a bit of a fast fashion freak, I think.
I'm not a fast fashion freak because I don't buy that much fast fashion. And I don't buy Primark.
No.
Or any of those online fast fashion brands as much. But it is difficult. And also, I've been reading a lot of stuff about, like hypocriticalness of...
Hypocrisy is the word.
Yeah. Hypocrisy is absolutely the word, yeah. No, that's completely right. See, if you did that, you would cut it, so then all it looks like you've just said hypocrisy. But because it's me, and you like to make me look like a fool, it's going to be me going hypocriticalness. Oh, no.
So there's been stuff about hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy.
People
well,
pretending...
I'll talk about it later. Well, basically,
I'll talk about
just...
it later, yeah, if you want. We'll start the podcast now.
Shall we?
Well, let's start with Keeping Up with the Kardashians. What was your reaction to, and it was all over the news today, Kylie Jenner, 21 years old. She's a billionaire. Not a millionaire, a billionaire. And she's got onto that Forbes rich list.
Yeah. Good on her. Yes. Excellent work. Well done her.
But she's done it via cosmetics mostly.
Yeah. Also by creating a brand out of herself. And she's surpassed her other five older sisters. Like, I think... Brilliant. Very impressed.
Are you? What's she going to do with all that money, though? I mean, it's billions.
Well, this is the thing.
Has she got a charitable foundation?
It'd be great, yeah. Because no one needs that much money.
No, you're near that much money. Well,
Jeff Bezos, did you see the stuff that, like, he could solve world hunger and have, like, £1 billion as pocket change? Like, that's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
No, this is...
But
like,
I wonder
if
he did solve world hunger... I wonder if it would... On paper, it looks good, doesn't it, that he could solve world hunger and still have £1 billion left over. But it would be where he put the money...
This is the problem. And also, because of a lot of these places where there are... I mean, first of all, he could solve hunger in the UK, which would not cause wars, which would just be a good thing. Or, like, do you know what I mean? Because we've got the foundation.
Oh, right. We've got the infrastructure.
Infrastructure, yeah. We've got the infrastructure to be able to distribute
the money.
Aid properly. Yeah. But in a lot of these countries where there are big hunger problems, it's because they're war-torn, it's because they have corrupt governments. And so, actually, when you give to charities, often the money doesn't go to the places. No. So you've got to be really careful about what charities you give to and stuff.
Do you think it's better to actually give to a charity that's got an organisation and has got a profile
yeah.
and all that? Or to give, say you were giving £10 one week to charity, to give £10 to just homeless people you see in the street?
Well, it's really split between this, because I think on the one hand, a lot of people who are homeless or unhoused or whatever have like drug problems or addiction problems, because that's often one of the reasons that people end up homeless. Mm. So it's like, if you give £10 to someone and they just spend it on drugs, then that's not great. But often these people don't need food as much because they get given food all the time. So it's like, to give someone money, even if they are going to do that, is that still a good thing or whatever? But that won't solve really any like wider problems. But I think if you're going to give to a charity, you know, charities like Shelter, like ones that are based in the UK and help people in the UK, maybe that's a better idea than when you give to these big aid foundations like UNICEF, because there's so...
Well, when you see the adverts on the TV, if you're a semi-retired older person like me and you're watching TV during the day, every quarter of an hour or so, one of these long adverts comes up and says, you know, just £5 will provide a blanket or provide clean water and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And they give you a specific figure and say, you know, text us on this number and £2 will buy water for one person.
Yeah,
or,
mosquito nets.
Or a blanket. Or mosquito nets, that's another one they do. And they really tug at the heartstrings, these things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that because you were saying that a lot of these places
have got corrupt
governments.
Yeah, it does make a difference, though. And I like, hopefully...
So really, it's better to do that than to give to tramps, is what you're saying.
I don't think you should say tramps.
Hobos. What's a hobo?
Bad.
Oh, hobos is a nice word.
No, it's not. You can't say that. No, not okay. Not okay at all.
All right.
I think...
Because you don't know if...
I don't think either is better than the other.
Is beggar a decent word?
No, I think you should just say homeless.
But you don't know that they're homeless. You know what I mean? Some people beg. It's what they do. There's got to be an element of people who just beg because they want
money. I'm not a fan of the argument of... Oh, these homeless people are just wanting money. They're not actually homeless, blah, blah, blah.
Well, some people
because
aren't.
It's like you're still begging on the street there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So even if you've got a house, you must be in quite a dire situation for that to be your job.
I agree with you. I'm not saying that there's probably a tiny percentage of people who beg who don't need to beg. But what I'm saying is, can we call them beggers?
No, I don't think
so. No, but you can't say homeless.
I just think
homeless
doesn't cover connotations of beggar.
Well, let me stick with
bad.
I'm going to do hobo.
You can't say hobo.
It's a nice word.
It's not a nice word. I don't know what the correct term was, but I'm pretty sure it's not hobo.
Well, I still call them tramps. And
tramps is wrong as well, because tramps has got connotations of being...
Maybe, being a little bit...
And, like gross and unclean and dirty and stuff. Unclean, yeah, that's not fair.
Okay. Now, I've been trying, as you've probably noticed, not altogether successfully, to be woke. You remember in an earlier podcast we talked about woke?
Mm-hmm.
And to be woke, I suppose, you don't call homeless people hobos or whatever. That would make me more woke if I stopped doing that. But people are now... Woke has become a joke, if you like.
Yeah.
There's a book out called Woke, A Guide to Social Justice. And it tells you how to be woke. And it says, by simply adding a rainbow to your Facebook profile or calling out an elderly person who doesn't understand what non-binary means, you can change the world for the better.
Is the book a satire?
It's a spoof. It says, say what you like about ISIS. At least they're not Islamophobic. It's actually...
This is just stupid, though, because it's just taking stuff to the extreme so it doesn't get taken seriously anymore when there are actual issues.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Okay, it's become a best-selling book anyway.
What?
Yeah, I'm afraid
it is. How? Oh, my God!
Well, there's one or two... I agree with you. Not any of that was funny. This one, I think, is quite funny. You'll notice there's not a single obese player in the England football team. This kind of discrimination is precisely why the fat acceptance movement is so essential.
I don't think that's funny either.
All right, try with one more. Society tells me I shouldn't be in a relationship with a cactus, but eco-sexuality is not a choice. No, none of that.
It's better than the other ones, but it's not funny.
No. Well, we'll move on for that. It's not a topic. I don't know why. I don't even know why I cut that out of the paper. So let's move on to Dolly Parton. How much do you love Dolly Parton?
Love her. I think she's brilliant. I think she's the greatest female artist of our era.
And a role model, possibly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you say
that. Oh,
no. You say that. Stella...
I can't bear it anymore.
all your sort of heroes and icons being toppled.
No, most of the men there's been problems with. It's fine. I don't mind.
Yeah. What about Michael Jackson?
I've got Michael Jackson written down.
Well, we'll talk about Michael Jackson. First of all, we'll demolish Dolly Parton. Her sister... has weighed in. Her sister is called Stella Parton. I've actually played her records on the radio. She's not bad. She's a country singer. Dolly Parton has been criticised by her younger sister for not speaking out more about sexual predators in the country and western music scene. And you'd think that in the country and western music scene, given the lyrics of the song, rather like I said about rappers, you know, the clues in the lyrics to the songs, it's a pretty much the same with country and western. Anyway, the star of 9 to 5, obviously, Dolly Parton, said she didn't identify as a feminist and indicated she had no interest in becoming a cheerleader for the hashtag MeToo movement. In a scathing attack, Stella Parton's sister urged her sister to use her position as a pop culture icon to advocate more for women's rights. I'm ashamed of my sister for keeping her mouth shut, said Parton 69, so it's a younger sister, who grew up with Dolly as one of 12 siblings to illiterate parents in Sevier County, Tennessee. Dolly Parton says she had no interest in becoming an outspoken advocate. She says, I mean, if being a feminist means I'm all for women, yes, but I don't feel I have to march, hold up a sign or label myself. So I
that's fine. I don't... I think it's a little bit problematic that she's I mean, it'd be great if she did use her platform to say more about sexual assault, but it's no reason to boycott her.
Oh, God,
not in
no.
the same
I
way.
Well, I don't think it... To me, I read this as two sisters having a bit of a bar.
Yeah, and I think...
Rather that, like you and your sisters, you could easily
yeah.
have an argument.
But, and I also think that Dolly Parton is... She's from a different generation, and she's from... You've heard that, 12 siblings, illiterate parents. Like, I think that's fine.
Yeah. And I mean, she always talks about the harassment she's come across over the years,
yeah.
Which would be immense, I would think.
You yeah, know,
trying to
definitely.
Make it in Nashville when she's like in her 20s, in that world as well.
Yeah.
The world, indeed, that we're going to visit when we do the music, because I've picked a country song today.
Shall we talk about Michael Jackson?
Let's talk about Michael Jackson.
The whole thing is that he is a sexual predator, would you say?
Well, not me. This documentary says that he's the two boys that are men now, obviously, who are talking on this documentary say very predatory.
Yeah, but I think that, like, this idea is not new. So in 1994, he made a financial settlement of $23 million with the family of Jordan Chandler, who I think is one of these young boys.
Yeah.
And that apparently everyone knew he had young boys sleeping in his bed. And only now are we deciding that it's, like, actually not okay. Mm. But this girl who wrote this article, she says, there is so much magnificent music in the world. I won't go out. He is properly dead to me now. And she says she's not listening to his music anymore. And she's boycotting.
Mm. And I think Radio 2 have decided they're not playing Michael Jackson music anymore. Having, as you say, played it all those years since 1994 when the accusation...
Exactly.
But in those days, an accusation was just an accusation. Until somebody had been actually done in court, people... These days it's changed. People would not assume guilt or would not... Rather like the Louis Theroux thing we saw the other night, which I'm sure you want to talk about
let's.
As well. In those days, it had to be proven in court before Radio 2 would stop playing their tunes, to be honest. So, in a way, we've benefited in that we've had 1994 to 2019, we've had 25 marvellous years of listening to those great Michael Jackson.
Like, I think he's brilliant.
Michael Jackson.
No, I think he's brilliant. I'm not a massive Michael Jackson fan.
No.
Again, I kind of agree with what she's saying. Like, there are so many wonderful musicians. Like, you don't need it.
No, you don't need it. I mean, I can't remember the last time I listened to a Michael Jackson song.
So, like, Dolly Parton, I do genuinely listen to it and put her on playlists and stuff. Michael Jackson, I wouldn't really do that
with. There's only one song of Dolly Parton's that you listen to.
No.
Over again.
I listen to Jolene. I listen to 9 to 5.
What's
I listen
the,
to Why'd You Come In Here Looking Like That?
That's the one.
But that's not even really a famous one.
No.
My best friend loves Dolly Parton a lot, so she always introduces me
to
Dolly
Parton. I have to say, when The Wall... came out, Michael Jackson, late 70s, I suppose. When The Wall came out...
No one cares.
When The Wall came out, I bought it on cassette, because I had a cassette player in my car, and I used to play that album again and again and again, and I the Quincy Jones production, Rod Temperton wrote some of the songs. I thought it was just a brilliant album, that album.
Yeah. I don't know,
I would listen to it again, and it wouldn't bother me. The fact that... we already suspected he might have been a sexual predator, but in the same way, it's the argument we've used lots in the past, you know, Leonardo da Vinci, was he always, you know, was he all that as far as his sexual politics went?
Yeah.
Picasso, would you never look at Picasso?
Well, this is the thing, she talks about Picasso in her article, but she said something about how much she liked Picasso that she could put it aside or something, but I don't know what the argument is.
Yeah, there's no argument, that's just her.
So I think that if you're going to... I just think if you're going to decide to boycott one person, then you have to do it with everyone.
I'm going to stick to the old rule. I'm going to wait until they've been done in court before.
But sometimes they don't get done in court, but they are guilty. So,
well,
like Brett Kavanaugh.
Sometimes they die.
Yeah, but Brett Kavanaugh is on the Supreme Court, and I think that he assaulted that woman.
Come on,
Dad. Did you see him in court?
No, he's a scumbag, but you can't just boycott him because they're a scumbag.
So, right, that's fine then. Bad example, because we can't know for absolute certain.
No.
That's fair enough, although I do think he absolutely
you
did
keep
it.
Saying that.
Donald Trump, there's a video of him admitting that he did that. If that was about him murdering someone, then he would not be the president.
No. Well, I'm...
So how is that fair?
He got elected.
Yeah, I know, but you can't... But he's committed the crime, though, still.
Well, he's not committed the crime. He's admitted to what he did, but yeah. It's not gone through court. It's ridiculous.
I don't understand how he can be the president.
Well, a lot of people don't understand how he can be the president. He can be the president because he got elected. And, you know, unless we change the system so there's a sort of a third, you know, it's like a scumbag option so that scumbags can't be president, you know, we're in trouble there. We'll leave Louis Theroux and the campus thing for a while because we'll just take a very short break and then have some music.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Start with me this week. I did mention that I've got some country music for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the great, great man of country music, Willie Nelson. Are you familiar with Willie Nelson? No. Good.
I've heard of him.
You've heard of him, and this is what he sounds like.
She's a railroad lady, just a little bit shady, spending her days on the train. She's a semi-good looker, but the fast rails, they took her. Now she's trying to get home again.
It's a shame we can only have the 20 seconds of that. Railroad
it went quick,
lady.
That 20 seconds.
It did go quick, didn't it? But it was 20 seconds, exactly.
Lovely.
Which is what we're allowed. It sort of harks back to the Dolly Parton issue. Mm. You know, when you listen to the lyrics, you know, she's a semi good looker. You wouldn't.
Yeah, but then that's like, you should be allowed to say it's so.
Well, I think
songs
so.
Are reflective of the worlds we live in. And so I think that not every play is completely, entirely socially conscious. And not every book is either. Like, some of the stuff in The Catcher in the Rye is really kind of problematic. Like, you can't censor art, and you shouldn't have to.
Would you like to know a little bit more about Willie Nelson?
No, I'm okay.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little. Not much. I'll just tell you a little bit more.
Sometimes you do, you know.
Sometimes I overdo it. I won't this time.
No, I'm kidding.
I can see
a picture of him. He looks like Jack Sparrow.
Yes, he does look a bit like Jack. That's in 2009. He's still with us, I'm delighted to say. Mm. Born April 29th, 1933. So he'll be celebrating his 86th birthday. And he's another one of these. Do you remember I played Little Richard? And who's also into his 80s, and said, these guys are such a good advertisement for heavy drinking and for rousing and misbehaving, because he's done a lot of that over the years. Born during the Great Depression, raised by his grandparents, he's an archetypal country figure. And when country music was all very lame, you know, there was a period in the 50s and the 60s where country music was absolutely awful. You know, it was all crooners, really. Conway Twitty, that that sort of thing. It was pretty awful. They broke away and called themselves the Outlaws. There was Willie Nelson, there was Waylon Jennings, and there was a couple of others, Jerry Jeff Walker, I think. And they became like sort of credible country music artists. And it was, and they went back to bluegrass, they went back to the roots, and that was Willie, and it's brilliant.
So my song is a song called Glitter by Tyler the Creator.
Well, that's the only bit we could play of that, really, because
I'm sad that you didn't get there, because the bit where it sings like glitter and stuff is the best bit in it.
Yeah, it was a bit distorted on the it was.
No, I think that's just how it is.
Is it supposed to sound
like crackly?
Sound well, no, not the crackly bit, but it was sort of boomy. It was on the sound wave. If anybody's interested in this, it was all one long horizontal line where it should be peaks and troughs sort of thing. So so I couldn't really play that. Also, the F words in it, and also the N word. Really, we would get an explicit tag and would lose our friends and family status, or whatever they call it.
This is quite, like, kind of Route 1, Tyler the Creator, who he's quite, like, been around for a long time, and everyone kind of likes him and stuff. But anyway, he's one of the members of the Odd Future group who are, like, Earl Sweatshirt and Frank Ocean, who we've played, who I like, but he's he's very popular and stuff, and he's been done appearances with like Kanye and Lil Wayne.
Right, so he's part of rap royalty, would we say that?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, well, if he's appeared with Kanye and Earl Sweatshirt and all
those people, I guess so.
Yeah, I'm going to say he's rap royalty. Let's talk about American campuses, because we both watched that Louis Theroux programme the other day, which I thought was a slightly disappointing programme, but tell us your take.
I would agree. I read a couple of reviews about it as well. The one review was highly, like, praising it and stuff. Again, it is like Louis Theroux, and he is really captivating to watch and stuff, and he's an excellent interviewer.
He's brilliant. He has got, and I think we can say this even though we're not explicit, he has got balls. I mean, the actual cojones it takes to sort of stand there and put the accusation.
Yeah,
you know,
and he just, and also he like he's really gives everyone like room to speak and stuff. And I've watched everything he's ever done, pretty much. And he will like say something and just let it sit until they say something because they feel uncomfortable. Yeah. Like he will
That's
never.
Hard to do.
Which is really hard because it's hard to not. Yeah. Not to try to make people feel comfortable and stuff. And also, he gets away with stuff because he's just really personable.
Yes. I mean, it is...
I think he is
It's a great act, and he is very good. But I thought the programme was slightly disappointing.
I thought it was slightly disappointing as well. Again, still is, like, really worth the watch, and is not... It's not, like, boring to watch.
It's on the iPlayer
like
if you want to watch it. What was it called? Do you remember what it was called?
The Night in Question.
The Night in Question. It's on the iPlayer. It's worth watching for Theroux alone, but...
It was a little bit disappointing, I felt, because, first of all, we didn't actually hear a female...
Well, there were female...
A female victim of sexual abuse until right at the end.
And well, there was that, the woman who was
speaking
in London.
At length, there was only one woman who spoke at length about her experience of sexual assault, and that was right near the end. And I feel like that was a purposeful thing, because it was meant to be more from the perspective of this guy who'd been accused of sexual abuse. But the whole thing was just weird. So it's about this guy called Seif.
Yeah, and he got a top lawyer who got him off legally. So he wasn't convicted in a court of anything. But then they have a sort of secondary system in...
Called Title IX.
Title IX.
In which a university will make their own decision about whether the student is allowed to come back to school and stuff after an accusation has been... put against him, so you can be found innocent in court but guilty of this Title IX thing. And then a lot of these boys who've been accused of sexual assault will then sue the colleges under the Title IX Discrimination Act back at backfiring at the lawyers.
See, what I took from that was that the Americans are just obsessed with lawyers. I mean, the lawyer business is so big in America.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting a little bit like that here. But, you know, here, have you had an accident that wasn't your fault, et cetera, et cetera. We can have injury lawyers. They're on the telly all the time. That sort of thing in advertising. But, like, America was in that position 10 years ago. Now it's got out of hand, I think. And I think the what I took from that show was that the sexual abuse industry, if you like, in America has just got completely out of hand. If you got sued and then you can sue back.
I think some of the interesting stuff it raised was just about how difficult it is to prosecute a rape accusation or any kind of assault accusation, because it often happens in such private quarters and stuff.
Which makes relations between the sexes quite difficult, I would have thought.
Do you think?
Well, I think if...
I disagree. Yeah. I disagree only because... So, men will say, oh, the, you know, false rape accusations. But the number of false rape accusations are, first of all, very, very low. And then it's also like, oh, you don't know if someone's drunk. And I think just the rule should be...
Well, it's that, isn't it?
Neither sex should... So, but also, I think that oftentimes, the when there's these accusations and stuff, it's about, like, what position was the woman in that she... Could she give consent or not? And was consent given?
Well, that
when the real
that,
question
that side
should
of
be...
Was,
yeah,
was all about
was
that,
all about that. But the real question should be... Should also be... Could the man decipher whether she was able to give consent or not? Because clearly she was really, really drunk. Mm. So this boy, it should have been his responsibility as well to be like, she's clearly not in a position to give consent.
Well, I know exactly what you mean, but I think the only safe solution is you don't have sex when you're drunk. You know, that's a safe solution.
Yeah.
But...
No, it's
given
not
the reality of, well, precisely, given the reality of, you know,
yeah, it's not
half the,
no.
half the humans on Earth wouldn't
have,
be here if... if
have sex when... You can have sex when you're drunk, but maybe just don't have sex when you're completely out of it.
So there's that,
which would
little,
be fair.
So there's that little grey area. There's a little tightrope between being absolutely plastered, being slaughtered, bloated, absolutely out of it, and being drunk enough to have sex unwisely. You know, there will be unwise sex, and people... I mean, that's always a problem, isn't it?
I think there was an implication that he was saying... Oh, she's woken up in the morning and regretted what she's done, so then made a rape accusation. I don't think that happens. I don't think that ever happens. Because you can regret something and not make a rape accusation.
I think it does happen very occasionally. But I think given what you have to go through to make a rape accusation in terms of the questions you have to answer and everything, I would think that was a very small possibility.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the
I do think that still the there's a presumption that the girl is, like, lying or that still...
No, I don't think so.
I think so.
I don't think there's a presumption. I think if there's any presumption, the presumption is the other way.
Well, I think it's both, though, isn't it? It's that the guy is guilty. I don't know how, but people are managing to think that both people are guilty parties, in a way.
Well, I think one of the problems there is that you're trying to bring legislation or bring a set of rules on a sphere of human activity in which there aren't any... You know, it's a wild frontier. It's always been a wild frontier.
Yeah.
Will continue to be a wild frontier.
But it doesn't have to be.
Well,
I think that if people spoke more openly about sex, then it wouldn't be...
No, but people won't speak
so much of a wild
openly
frontier
about sex, because it's a private activity. And as long as it remains a private, you know, outside various films...
I think you can talk about it and it still be private.
Yes, you can.
Because people
talk
about their love lives all the time, and that's private as well.
Yeah, well, you can talk about it in general terms, but I'm saying that casual sex, which some of this campus sex that we're talking about is, and there will always be an element of that, is a wild frontier. And I think there's no two ways around it. There's no way around, you know, the more you try and... But what I think is really interesting is that the campuses, where you'll be on a campus next year, has become such a battleground, not just for that, but for loads of, you know, for politics and all sorts of things that I'm just leading...
What do you mean?
I'm leading into my next thing. In the old days, you could get lecturers and people at colleges who were, quotes... eccentric, had eccentric views, have views way apart from the mainstream, right? Mm-hmm. These days, you won't last 5 minutes in a university. This is a lecturer in English literature. This is at Lincoln University. A lecturer in English literature who wrote on Twitter that Islam inspired terrorist attacks in Britain and that he was tired of essays about the oppression of women has left his university. Obviously. Michael Blackburn, who taught creative writing and English at the University of Lincoln...
Creative writing's a stupid degree, anyway.
OK, I'm inclined to agree.
And you'll get grief about that.
And English. He prompted an outcry among students after sending tweets about terrorism and feminism. Students said they only learnt of his departure when their lectures were rescheduled. A tweet in August 2017 after a series of terrorist attacks in Britain read, "I know the media haven't told us, but I suspect these terror attacks were carried out by Muslims because of Islam." One in 2013 said, "If the left hadn't told me the EDL, the English Defence League, were the real threat, I would have carried on thinking it was machete-wielding, Koran-quoting Muslims."
Well, so, he seems genuinely Islamophobic there.
Well, he seems genuinely outspoken, and possibly Islamophobic as well. But that shouldn't, if you're teaching creative writing and English, I don't think that should
Maybe
disqualify
not,
you from doing
but...
the job. Do you want to know what he said about feminism?
Go on.
Mr. Blackburn, he's a poet and a writer. He retailed in something called the Fortnightly Review, an online journal, he wrote, "It's unlikely that most of the students at our universities who are so keen to snitch on their classmates and lecturers for wrong think, wrong speak, or wrong tweet have heard of the Stasi or the Securitate. That's a pity because a brief acquaintance with those two institutions of modern totalitarianism may just a smidgen introduce a spark of self-awareness into their smug little minds." Probably too outspoken, but I think he's probably...
I don't know whether he would be a good teacher. That's my question.
Well, I think for creative writing, the implication is that some of the students, that it wasn't the students who were... Again, you know, because the students only found out when his lecture had been rescheduled. They weren't trying to drive him out. And I think if you're studying English and creative writing, to have someone who is outspoken like he is, you know, quite literate in the way he does it, would be quite good.
I don't think
these people should be driven out of colleges.
I wouldn't need to see him teaching. So we were talking earlier about fast fashion, and I was talking about the hypocrisy of environmentalism and the eco-friendly movement.
Well, you were talking actually about the hypocriticalness, but...
This was last week, so I don't know whether this iceberg has actually broken from Antarctica, but an iceberg twice the size of New York is about to break from Antarctica as of last week. And NASA says it will be the biggest piece to break from the Brunt ice shelf since 1915 and could cause the entire shelf to become unstable or break up. I don't know whether this is just me being pessimistic, but I don't think me stopping wearing clothes from Primark or using metal straws is going to stop that happening.
Well, no, it's too late now, isn't it, stop that?
Well, a little bit of it is too late, but also, this is the figure. Just 100 companies are responsible for 71% of global emissions. So part of that is, like, individual people should show that they care about these things and stuff, but part of me thinks that these big companies have planted these things to get us distracted about the real problems, so we all talk about straws all the time, when actually what we should be doing is telling these companies not
Which
to come out emissions.
I mean, these are
people. I don't know, ones like Shell. The 100 companies are the fossil fuel giants of the world. China Coal Energy accounts for an astounding 14.3% of global emissions.
Which energy?
China Coal.
China Coal, right.
Yeah. Saudi Arabia's Aramco covers 4.5%, and Russia's Gazprom is responsible for 3.9%. Exxon Mobil is the fifth slot, 2%. Royal Dutch in ninth at 1.7%, and BP is 11th with 1.5%.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that us sort of over-entitled souls in the West are using metal straws and not doing fast fashion, but... In China and Saudi Arabia, they're burning coal.
Well, no, I also don't think that's fair to say, because we've had our industrial revolution and caused a lot of these problems, and they're going through that now, and it's not fair to say that. And also, most of the fast fashion we buy is from China. But I think there's a bigger thing of, like, big corporations are the ones who could make actual change, and I think it's important to make ecologically friendly changes in your daily life as much as you possibly can, but there's a bigger problem of governments holding corporations accountable
for what they're doing. We need to have a harsh word with the Chinese, from what you're saying.
I don't know what the solution is. It just seems like there's nothing you can do as an individual anymore. Like, if something...
So you're saying we should stop doing... You know, I take
well,
your
like,
point.
Well, like, what's the point? But then I don't want to say what's the point, because that feels really apathetic.
Yeah,
but
precisely.
It's like,
you've got to do
if
something.
An iceberg is about to come off a shelf that's twice the size of New York... New York's pretty big.
Mm.
then what's the point in me using metal straws?
Well, the point is that we're moving, the point is a little bit at least would help a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe. Somebody's going to have to... If we all use metal straws...
But they keep saying that it's like, we've got 10 years to really change this, or this is the end. But they've been saying that for at least 40 years. So the question is, are we just saying that now to make ourselves feel better?
What's your point?
So if the world is ending anyway, might as well do nothing.
And is that your view?
I don't know, no. I don't think so. I don't know.
After all this talk about climate change, are you suddenly becoming nihilistic?
Yeah, maybe.
Have we reached peak feminism this week, or do you want...
Always room for more feminism.
Well...
It depends if it's good feminism or interesting feminism.
What do you think of Janet Street Porter? She wrote a very good column, I thought, in the Independent, saying, has hashtag Me Too made feminists incapable of forgiveness? So it's a slightly different issue from whether people have been charged or not charged. This is what happens after they've served their sentence.
I was just going to say, before I forget, the Louis Theroux bit that I thought was very interesting was, so there was a girl who was sexually assaulted at an American university, and she did an art project where she carried around her mattress.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And very cool art and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But then she was saying that the thing is, we should be talking to these boys who commit the sexual assaults, and it's not like a normal crime, like you should be able to be rehabilitated for it. And I thought that was a nice view of it.
Well, Emma Thompson's view is no rehabilitation. She's walked out of a film because the producers hired a man who has admitted to, quote, missteps in the way he behaved towards female workers at his previous job, which he said made them feel disrespected. He's John Lasseter, very famous in the film world, creative head of Disney's Pixar. He was publicly, he's a big man in animated movies. He was publicly shamed for his alleged drunken advances, groping, unwanted kisses, and creepy comments. After the allegations emerged at Pixar in 2017, Lasseter took a six-month leave of absence, apologised, and subsequently left the company. Now he's been hired to work as creative head on Luck, which is an animated film starring Emma Thompson. The voice of Emma Thompson, one assumes. According to...
No, she's an actual animated character.
Yeah. According to Thompson, we can do without the sarcasm. According to Thompson, the producers who picked Lasseter were giving him a second chance. She obviously doesn't think he merits one. She's angry that his previous behaviour is being described as mistakes. And she's written to the Los Angeles Times about this. He co-founded Pixar and was the brilliant mind behind Toy Story. So he's a big deal.
Definitely not boycotting Toy Story.
Thompson asserts that she's making a stand for her daughter's generation. But is she guilty, asks Janet Street Porter, of heavy-handed puritanism?
Maybe. I don't know. I think it's an interesting thing because it's like, on the one hand, people should be able to be rehabilitated and you should be able to say sorry because the crimes are now... Because they weren't taken seriously for so long, it was difficult not to... The woman in this documentary who'd been raped was saying, you can be a rapist, but it doesn't have to follow you for the rest of your life.
Janet Street Porter says, I wonder what Me Too accusers would like to happen to the objects of their anger. Put bluntly, do they want men like Kevin Spacey, currently guilty of no crime, still awaiting trial on charges of sexual misconduct, which he denies, and Harvey Weinstein, ditto. Do they want people like Kevin Spacey and Harvey Weinstein never to work again? Thompson, this is Emma Thompson, talks of difficult times of transition and collective consciousness raising. Janet Street Porter says, shouldn't this be a time for mediation and reconciliation, for rebuilding the relationship between the sexes? Now, I know you've had difficulty finding a meme of the week, but...
Yeah, I've just been not seeing anything that was great. There's been some funny ones with pictures, but nothing, no text posts that were that funny. But this is funny, but I'm not sure whether I've said it before. No. I don't know. It's weird that pirates would go from shore to shore looking for buried treasure when the real treasure was in the friendships they were making. There'll be booty to be found, matey. Matey, your booty be the most bountiful. Matey. Bro-rates sailing the brochen in their brats. Pirate 1. What be a pirate's favourite letter? Pirate 2. You'd think it'd be R, but his first love be the C. Pirate 1. Matey, this pirate's favourite letter is U. Pirate 2. Matey.
That's good. You've never done that before. I'd remember if you'd done that before because I'd remember the atrocious pirate voice you were doing.
I wasn't doing a proper pirate voice.
Oh, you did R.
I did R.
R. We all do R. Yes, that's very good. And I like it a lot. We didn't do any emails at all.
We can do an email now if you'd like.
Let's do a couple of emails. This was interesting. Joel Andrew sent us an email. And you know when I say last week when we were testing the levels,
yeah.
And I said, oh, we're just testing for levels here. And you said, you shouldn't say we're just testing for levels. You should just go ahead and do it we're just having a conversation.
Yeah.
That's what you said. Joel Andrew agrees with me. He said, just a quick one to say, I think you should keep the bit where you tell us you're testing for levels. It's part of your thing. It's very honest and breaking the fourth wall on radio. One day, everyone will be doing it. You're trailblazers. You're not taking what Joel says?
No, I don't think it's about the fourth wall thing. Mm. I think that it sounds like you've just stumbled upon a conversation if it's like we've already been talking and then we've decided to start, I'd think that sounds better, but I take it on board.
And from Hong Kong, Alistair Maxwell gets in touch. Yeah. He says, I'm watching Happy Valley on Netflix and getting some idea of your locale. Did you watch Happy Valley?
No, I've not seen it, but I've heard a lot about it.
Anyway, he recommends it. He says, that's very well done from the BBC. Any other recommendations for Netflix for a colonial gone wrong flavour?
You know what he should watch? Maybe he won't like this because it's about teenagers. Have you seen Sex Education? Did you see that advertising?
I saw it advertised.
That was pretty good. I quite like that.
Yeah. And where's that set? That's set in the UK.
Yeah. Skins, if he wants proper UK.
There you are, Alistair, Skins and Sex Education, and let us know what you think of them. If you want to get in touch with us on email, we'd love to hear from you. It's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to hear a little bit more of the Willie Nelson song and also the, whatever that guy's name
is. Tyler the Creator.
Tyler the Creator. If you want to hear any more of those two, how do you do that?
The songs will be on full on the Spotify playlist. You either search Ruthie Me My Dad or just Martin and Ruth, and either of those will take you to the playlist.
And thank you ever so much for...
And you can listen to the podcast on Spotify.
Yes, you can listen to the podcast on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. Yeah, so there you are, it's on Spotify. Also, obviously, you're listening to it, so you don't need to...
Yeah, no, they don't need to be told. I was just mentioning that it's actually on Spotify. You know, if you're already there to look at the songs.
Excellent.
But then they wouldn't be here.
No,
you get what I mean?
Precisely.
So, yeah, that was inane.
Yeah, totally inane. And do join us again when we do another one next week. And thank you very much indeed for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.